Please join me in prayer. God, our great creator, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So friends, I'm going to invite you to consider your closet or your dresser or your wardrobe at home. Think about all of the different types of clothing that you have for all of the different occasions or purposes. You might have some hiking boots for mountain hikes and treks, some slacks and dress shirts for business occasions or nice events, some gym clothes for working out, perhaps your wedding dress or suit that has hung there for 35 years. Sometimes, if we're being honest, we just have those clothes for casual errands, then we cannot be bothered. Or some of those items that make up the majority of the clothes that we tend to wear on a more daily basis, jeans, t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, those kinds of things. In general, we tend to be fairly well equipped and well suited to the various situations that our lives bring us to. And we tend to be fairly adaptable when it comes to our clothes as well. Remember all of those various meetings during COVID where we would look nice depending on what it was above the screen, and we were in our casual ratty sweatpants or pajama pants, that perfect balance of professional and comfortable, if you will. But every day we make a choice, and sometimes we make multiple choices throughout the day about what we wear. And that choice is generally made through the careful consideration of all of the tasks and the responsibilities that we have to be performing that day. And the work that Paul does here in this letter to the Colossians is remind us that regardless of the tasks and the responsibilities that we have to take care of, there is an additional wardrobe that we should be making the careful and conscious decision to clothe ourselves in every day. And it is one of those that is more important than any fashion choices that we might make in our daily activities, because they are the choices that we make in how we clothe ourselves spiritually. When we look closely at some of the language that Paul uses, there is a reinforcement of this idea that we dress with intention. That getting dressed is something that we choose to do daily, and when it comes to our spiritual clothing, that is something we must also choose to do. Much like we are not able to wear the same thing every day, we go through these routines of dressing and undressing throughout the day. We don't necessarily get to have a one-and-done routine, and we also don't really get the luxury of set it and forget it when it comes to our faith life. We are reminded in the words of this letter that as God's choice, we put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And the way of Christ is an invitation into a new and a different lifestyle. These spiritual clothes that Paul reminds us of are those attitudes and those ways of being that so much of our culture, particularly our political environment, are not conducive to. Our world so often promotes and pressures us into being so singularly focused on ourselves, encouraging us to hold grudges, and really driving home that we should be worried only about ourselves. When we know and we have seen that the work of community building, the work of connecting that is so countercultural to the structure of our social world right now, is truly built on compassion. It is built on invitation and on forgiveness. To be clear, that is not complacency, but it is forgiveness. The way of Christ is an invitation into a new and a different lifestyle. And what Paul invites us to remember is that nature of Christ, a movement toward relating to our neighbors and all of our neighbors, not as competitors and not keeping in mind solely the transactions that we might have, but rather to face, to see, and to treat them as other human beings, person to person. as God's choice, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are all the characteristics that Paul emphasizes are ours to cultivate in our own spiritual wardrobes. But more than these specific attitudes, he mentions thankfulness and gratitude 3 times in this short set of verses. And that thankfulness is the mechanism which opens the door to the kind of life that Paul is urging us toward. A life transformed, a life of peace in Christ, and a life of gratitude. Our attitude and our abundance do not come just from our own efforts, but rather through that transformative presence of God. And our own transformation allows for us as individuals and for us as a church to use those blessings with which we have been blessed to further bless others, knowing that God entrusts us with all that we have. Paul writes to let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this is going off and doing your own thing. Community sustains us in this call and in this invitation to a transformed life. Through the faith community, we engage in those activities of worship, of prayer, of service, of giving that keep us rooted in Christ rather than at the shallow calls of the world. As we are grounded in Christ and accessing that greatest source of freedom from the demands of the world and allowing us to live from a place for the world, it becomes a slightly easier task in putting on those clothes of compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience. Paul encourages us, or urges us even, to let every detail in our lives, our words, our actions, our whatever, be done in the name of Jesus and thanking God the Father every step of the way. And we are reminded to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. How do we honor Christ and live in him with every breath, every word, every thought, and every action? The way of Christ is countercultural, and these efforts of living within him in all these things requires practice and the intentional effort toward this goal, knowing that we are not likely to reach perfection. But it also requires community to remain committed to living in Christ, to be encouraged in that work and effort, to be supported and to be connected. It is not something that we get right all the time, and it is not something that comes without intention and choice. If you think back to what I invited at the beginning of this chat, to your own inventory in your own spiritual closet, and maybe we do a seasonal clean out of that closet. Are there items that you might find there that are perhaps a suit of pride or a dress of arrogance or something in that nature? What are those items that can be removed from your closet and replaced with what Christ offers? And what is it that we all need to do this week to invite more of Christ's peace into our hearts? Perhaps it looks like building a gratitude practice or a breath prayer or scripture reading into your daily life. But once these items of compassion and humility and gentleness and kindness become the staples in our closets, we have the question before us of what might it look like for them to be our everyday clothes, rather than our church clothes, reserved only for those days when we show up for worship or fellowship? And can those everyday clothes then become an offering in the world of our best all the time? Last week, I left you with this question to consider, of if somebody from outside of the church were to look into our church, would they see a holy and living sacrifice that is not conformed to the world? Or would they see more of what the world offers, of judgment, of pressure, of blame? I think frequently, Frequently, we are very good at being a church that offers welcome, invitation, and kindness, and not necessarily a continuation of what the world so frequently offers. But what does it take for us as a church to extend those attitudes of gentleness and kindness, compassion, humility, patience, and love beyond the four walls of this building, making them our everyday outfit and clothes for the benefit of the world and the community, rather than reserved as simply our Sunday best? Amen.